is Lead 1212, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership based on Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Thanks for listening. Now here's Chris and Dave. What's up, everybody? We're back. We're glad to hear you. We're glad to see you. I say we're glad to hear you, and I really don't hear you, so I don't know why I say that. But anyway, thanks, Chris. You could have encouraged me. You're right, Dave. You're an idiot. Thank you,
ladies and gentlemen. Should have just kept my mouth shut.
Dave's here.
Yes, I am. Are you guys ready for the NCAA?
I am so looking forward to that.
Who you got winning it all, Wayne?
I don't even know who's in it.
Just say Kentucky.
Kentucky,
yeah.
For those of you who don't know us, we live in Kentucky. Who you got, Chris?
Kentucky, not Tennessee, even though that's what my ballot may say.
Let us pray. You traitor.
Oh, I feel terrible.
I know. This has nothing to do with anything, but I'm wearing a UK shirt, so I go big blue. So
absolutely.
There you go. All right. So Psalm 25:21 says, may integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you, O Lord. So that's the goal.
Amen.
Today, that we are being our best for God. And we're talking about that. Thank you.
Amen.
All right, Chris, what do you got for us? Let's go.
Well, today we're going to finish the leadership ethics. We had a really good discussion where we discussed Kohlberg and his stages of ethical and morality. So we're going to finish that today with three of the most popular leadership theories. Those are adaptive leadership, transformational leadership, and servant leadership, and how leadership ethics applies to them.
Sounds good. That Stone Cold Goldberg, man, he does. That's amazing. That guy does so many things. I'm joking. You don't have to tell us I was wrong. I get it. We're just trying to be a little light. Lighten up, people. All right.
That's it.
That's a good laughing one. I haven't heard that one yet.
We haven't done much funny, so we got to work on that.
Now I feel guilty about that. Apparently, I haven't been funny, y'all. Go ahead.
You're always funny.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me if this sounds correct or not. It seems like we live in a world where one after another high-profile scandals in business and government happen. True or false?
True. 100%.
True.
Because of this, the interest in ethical leadership has grown proportionally. The ethical scholars that are the leaders of ethical scholar studies, such as Ronald Heifetz, James McGregor Burns, and Robert Greenleaf, have provided a perspective in this area. And a common theme is a need for leadership based on honesty, service for others, and moral courage. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's an interesting two words you put together there, moral courage.
Moral courage.
What do you think about those two words, Chris?
I think about when you know what the right thing is or what you should be doing, but yet you don't have the courage to do that. It takes a certain amount of courage to stand up when you're against the crowd.
Hey, man, we need more Christians that have moral courage.
Yes, we do.
What
Amen.
Do you think? Yeah, what do you think, Wayne?
I literally tell my guys all the time, don't be afraid to be different.
Very good.
Don't be afraid to be the example.
Very good.
Yeah, be who God created you to be, but make sure you have integrity. And I think that's what we're going through today. Is that right?
That's it.
All right.
So now for Heifetz, the leadership involves using authority to help followers uphold the values in the workplace. Burns' theory of transformational leadership, which you may remember, emphasizes the moral development of followers and maintains a high standards of ethical conduct, while Greenleaf's approach to leadership has strong ethical overtones, with the central premise being that true leadership is a service to others.
It's good stuff. I think one of the biggest things that the church is lacking, and I know in our church is something we've wanted to get better at, is servant attitude. And the funny thing is, just look next door and try it. You can serve people in ways you never dreamed of. My wife, she doesn't always like being around people, but she can cook all day long, and she loves taking people food and blessing them that way.
She is so good at that too.
Well,
she's amazing.
She finds her lane and jumps in it, and I think that's pretty important. What do you think, Wayne?
Sure. Not everybody is going to do the same thing. Not everyone has the same gifts.
I think we got a winner. Very good.
That was a fun sound.
We're trying them out.
Yeah.
So I think it may be good to review those three theories just quickly. If you remember, Heifetz's theory of leadership is adaptive leadership. And in a nutshell, it states that the responsibility of the leader is to assist the follower in struggling with change and personal growth. Burns' theory of leadership is transformational leadership, and he states that the leader's responsibility is to assist the followers in assessing their values and needs and to help followers rise to a higher level of functioning. And everybody's favorite is Robert Greenleaf. He developed his idea of servant leadership, and he says the leader should be attentive to the concerns of their followers and should take care of them and nurture them. In addition, Greenleaf argues that the servant leaders have social responsibilities to be connected with the have-nots and should strive to remove inequalities and social injustices. Greenleaf places a great deal of emphasis on listening, empathy, and unconditional acceptance of others. Those sound familiar?
Absolutely. And I think, say those again, because I think it's important that we hear those things again.
Heifetz' theory is adaptive leadership, Burns' theory is transformational leadership, and Greenleaf's theory is the servant leader.
And I think those are all important things that we need to apply, every one of those.
Absolutely. So now let's quickly move on to one more. This was written in a book in 1986 called The Hard Problems of Management, Gaining the Ethics Edge, and it's by Mark Payston. Mark Payston was the first person to take a managerial approach to ethics in business. This was considered very thought-provoking at the time, and Payston makes the following point. Let's see if you guys agree with this. An ideal, ethical organization adds to the value of the individuals who are in the organization. It does not require that the individual sacrifice some of their integrity to belong to the organization.
Agree. I think one of the things that we have to do is, it's just, again, I know church work. That's what I deal with. And I have to make sure I'm above reproach.
Absolutely.
That people know I'm doing my best to live it. That doesn't mean I won't make mistakes, but it means when I claim those mistakes, allowing Jesus to work through me and get better.
Amen. Wayne, what do you think about that?
Makes perfect sense.
Let me take that a step further and apply my own twist to that. Leadership, when understood correctly, operates the same way. Leadership adds to the value of the individuals, and it should never require that individuals sacrifice any of their integrity. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
I don't think you should ever sacrifice. You're going to live like him. And I think it's not something that we just act at. We live at. We work at it. It's an everyday put it on kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
If I can carry that one step further.
You absolutely can.
Something I've learned as I end up with opportunities to teach people at the church is, if I don't think of those nights where I'm teaching as an assignment that I have to cover a particular thing and live my daily life always in that thing, that in this case in the Word, then Wednesday nights mean something completely different.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I can see that.
And he does a great job on
it. He really does. Yes, he really does.
It's important that you guys know that this thing that we're talking about, it's not something that we just, it's our life. And we want to apply these things every day to our leadership and be better at it.
Absolutely right.
So there you go.
But let me finish with this one, that Payston viewed leadership as a social contract. And he developed a two-pronged test for deciding if ethics of that contract should be translated to the concept of leadership. The social contract is sound if the parties to the contract would enter the contract freely and fairly, is what he said. But Payston didn't tell us what he meant by the use of the word freely, except it means voluntarily. He also did not define the word fairly, but most of us know the secret to determining if a contract is fair. Wayne, you're a wheeler and dealer. How do you know if a contract is fair? There's a simple test.
If everybody wins a little and everybody loses a little.
That's a good answer.
Oh, man, that's good.
But that's not one I had in mind. Dave,
no, you're wrong. Loser.
Dave, what do you think?
I've already forgot the question now. Go over it again.
What's a simple test to tell if any contract is fair?
I think if it matches with truth, if it lines up to my,
I can see that,
to what I believe. You could tell me I'm wrong too. It's okay. But
the simple test to tell if any contract is fair is if both parties would still agree if the roles were reversed.
Oh, See, I wasn't even thinking that way. That's good.
See, Dave, he let you off easy on that one.
I did.
He did not let you off.
He absolutely railed me.
That's because you're a loser, Wayne.
I'm a little worse with that. So here's a verse that I thought really tied in with this. It's Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself.
That's good. 100%. And what's that look like? How you put that on?
How to treat others more significantly than yourself?
Yes.
That's a good question. How do we live that every day?
And I think, again, so there's simple things you can do. I remember when I first started ministry, I used to pass out those WWJD bracelets.
Remember those well.
Those bracelets are good, but that lifestyle's better. If you are really asking yourself, what would Jesus do? That's a great integrity model for you to follow. How would Jesus handle this? If someone hurts you, how would Jesus deal with that hurt? Granted, he's Jesus and we're not, but if we do our best to compare it and use the word as our guide, I've always discovered it with me to find godly people that I can trust. You know what, Chris, what do you think? Am I wrong here?
No, I agree.
And someone who will tell me I'm wrong is just as important as someone who will tell me I'm right.
It may be more important because they're more rare.
No, I think I'm right. They're both equal.
I tried. He didn't listen. So I want to end this one with a couple of moral dilemmas. Now, the purpose of this is to show you, with regards to ethics or anything else in leadership, sometimes there's no great decision. There's no perfect decision. You're going to end up making people mad, and you're going to end up making people think you've made unethical decisions when the truth is you've done the best that you can. Dave, I want to start with you. In this dilemma, you're playing the role of a citizen. I'm sure you can handle that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Scaff. Citizen.
Citizen Kane.
Citizen. Dun, dun.
Let's give a little drama to that one.
We like that.
Oh, no.
There he was.
Okay. Dave, you're driving your car. When you come up on the scene of an accident and there's no emergency vehicles, you're the first car there. And clearly, one person will die without immediate medical care. You take the victim and speed to the hospital. You're going to save the life. That's wonderful. But the extra speed causes another accident and a person dies. How should you be judged?
Oh my goodness. What in the world?
These are not easy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I lean gray. So my heart was right. I screwed up, but my heart was right. How should I be judged? So ultimately, in the eyes of God, I think I get grace. In the eyes of people, how they look at me, I don't know. I think it'll go both ways. And I just got to be okay with knowing that I was trying to do my best. Should I have speeded? Speeded, is that the right word?
Speeded, speded.
Should I have gone too fast?
Speeded it. That's it.
Shouldn't have been drinking either. All right, sorry.
Well, you were doing your best to save a life, but I don't think the family of the person who died would agree with that at all.
Because you're driving. I agree. I get that. I get both sides of it. I get the heart that's trying to save somebody too. But I think ultimately, you can't go wrong when you obey the law.
That's true.
I really don't. I mean, I know.
What if you would have obeyed the law and you didn't speed, you didn't cause an accident, but the person you're trying to save died and his family thought, man, why didn't he step on it?
And again, it comes down to my heart. You can't judge my heart, Chris, because that's between me and God.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
But if I think I'm doing the right thing, then I think I'm doing the right thing. Wayne, what do you think?
I think no one can predict the future. So it goes back. For me, every time I think I'm about to get busted for speeding, I always have this made-up conversation I can go through in my head with the police officer.
I've had to drive with him.
Oh, my gosh.
This is going to be so much fun for me to go off here in a second. Go ahead.
Because I always think, if I hadn't been speeding, I wouldn't be in this place. But if I had been going slower, then maybe I would have been in an accident. Like, we really just don't know.
Oh, you put some real thought into that.
Yeah, but you should have put your phone down.
Hey! I was speeding. I wasn't doing...
You were speeded.
Okay, the point of this is hopefully you can see and the listeners can see that sometimes as a leader, you're going to have to make decisions that not everyone's going to... And some people are going to think are unethical. But you have to make the best decision with the information you have at that time and not looking back at it.
Absolutely. That's good.
Wayne, I've got one for you. In this moral dilemma, you'll be playing the role of a salesman.
Oh, no. Ladies and gentlemen.
So I'm broke and starving.
Yeah.
You learn that your company is selling faulty equipment that could be dangerous, but your spouse needs medical treatment that costs a lot of money and it's a large percentage of your income. You believe that if you confront your employer with the faulty equipment, you will lose your job and your wife will die. What do you do?
It's a complicated answer.
Dun, dun,
I wish I had the Jeopardy theme.
I would bring it up to somebody in my company.
Higher than you or lower than you?
Higher than me. But I would probably have the goods, if they came back on me, to pursue some other sort of action if I got fired.
So you were
doing the right thing.
Okay. It's like a whistleblower thing, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's, your wife is certainly your main priority.
Sure.
But if you don't do something, someone could be injured or die. Dave, what do you think about it?
Doing the right thing is doing the right thing. I think
see,
Wayne's
there's
right.
That answer again.
I think Wayne's right.
Dave's like, I'm just going to pick the right answer.
Well,
that's what he did last time too.
But it's true. If you do what you know is right, ultimately we stand before a judge and God the Father. And
amen.
I don't want to stand before him and not have done the wrong thing. Or I have done the wrong thing.
Right.
And so I think doing the right thing, you can't, that's it. Now, does that make it easy? No. And
no.
Do I understand if someone didn't do the right thing? 100%. But doing the right thing is doing the right thing.
Absolutely. Galatians 5:16 tells us, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh.
There you go. It's turmoil. We're constantly in the sin battle. I think we talked about this a little bit.
We absolutely are.
Sin at its core is the Greek word hamartia, which means missing the mark.
And oh, so, I love that. Love that.
It's an archery term, Chris, and it's based on when you don't hit the target straight on, you miss the point, you've sinned. And messing God... Wayne's over there acting like he's going to shoot an arrow at me. Can you please stop him? Grow up, Wayne.
I'm not putting an apple on your head. Don't even think that.
Yeah, but it's really important to understand anything that's not God, you're messing the point. That's sin.
Absolutely.
And I think we try to justify it. So, well, it's not that bad because I'm trying. My heart was right. And I even said that in the beginning.
You did, yes.
But ultimately, if your heart is that of Christ Jesus, then your heart's right.
Absolutely.
I come from a point of view where my heart's right because I'm loving Jesus.
Yes.
Does that make sense? And
yes,
so
it
I
does.
Need to do the right thing because I love Jesus. And doing that is what he's given me here on this earth to do. Does that make sense?
That'll preach. That's beautiful.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. All right. Anything else?
I think we've covered it.
All right. Let me close with this then. Sorry, there's a little blank there. You can take that later. All right. Colossians 3:12 says this.
No, I can't.
You can't?
I can't. Just start.
I'm really confused. All right. Colossians 3:12 says this. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if anyone has a grievance against one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you also forgive them. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body and one heart, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly among you. That's it right there.
I love it.
There's a lot more to that, but the goal is simply this. Am I living out my Christian walk, my Christ-centeredness? We are Christians, which basically is Christians. That's what we are. That's
yes.
What we do. And this Christian life can be summed up in that. And go back and read that, Colossians 3. You'd read the whole part, 12 through 17. I cut it short, but read that whole thing because it's really important that you understand you are chosen, you are loved, and you are called to be better. And as Christian leaders, I challenge you to do that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Have a great week. Goodbye, everybody.
This is an LBS production, which stands for pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also...
stands for laughing because we're saved. But we kind of like the pounds. So Chris will lift them and I will gain them and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.